Residents in Palmyra and Eagle in southeastern Wisconsin will see an advisory referendum on the fall ballot on whether or not to dissolve their school district. Bob Doerr is a reporter for the Now News Group, part of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been covering this story. Bob, welcome to Central Time.
You bet. My pleasure.
Well, this story goes back in part to last fall. There was an $11.5 million referendum on the ballot for the Palmyra Eagle district. Can you tell us what happened there and what it led the school board to do?
Yeah, it was actually, originally it was going to be in the fall, but then it was held April 2nd. So they had a $11.5 million operational referendum to help fund the school district and their finances. They're in some financial straits there. And it failed. It was soundly rejected, 61% to 39%. And prior to that vote, school board members and school district officials had been pretty clear that if this doesn't fail, we're going to have to start the process to dissolve.
What does that take? What is the district doing to try to dissolve itself now?
Well, they did a couple of different votes about 6 days after that April 2nd vote. The school board, they call it considering to dissolve the district. That's the way the state statutes are spelled out. So they did that on April 8th. All but one school board member voted in favor of that resolution to consider dissolution. And then they followed that up with the July 1st vote, which was unanimous to order the dissolution. And that's where we stand now.
And there's a community petition now to have another vote. What is that about?
Yeah, that's right. The school board could have called for an advisory referendum on the matter for whatever reason they didn't. But the electorate, the members of the community do have the right by law to call for an advisory referendum if they get enough signatures on a petition. And they did that. There was an effort that took place. They needed, I think it was 403 signatures. The threshold was 10% of, you know, the voting public, and they got quite a bit more than that. They got around 700 signatures. So, I think there's 10 days they have if anyone wants to appeal those or that sort of thing. But I think with that number above the threshold, that we can pretty much be certain that there's going to be an advisory referendum on November 5th.
So the school board voted to dissolve. There will be this advisory referendum. But who ultimately decides if the school board or if the school will be dissolved?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one I didn't know before I started covering this story. There's a state entity called the School District Boundary Appeal Board, and that's kind of a statewide group of school board members from large, medium, and small districts that serve two-year terms, I think it is. And then from that 12-member board, there's a 7-member board that will decide this case.
We'll leave it there. Bob, thanks for bringing us up to date on this.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Bob Doerr is a reporter for Now News Group, part of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He talked with us about an advisory referendum on the way on whether to dissolve the Palmyra Eagle School District. Now the U.S. Air Force is in the process of deciding where to station new F-35 fighter jets, and Madison's Truax Field is one of the places on the list. Last night, hundreds of residents attended a public meeting at the Alliant Energy Center to offer their take on the issue. Chris Hubbock covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, there was this big public meeting last night for people to weigh in on the prospect of these new F-35 jets being stationed at Truax Field in Madison. You were there. First, what concerns did some people bring up there?
The concern, I mean, there were largely two camps of people, supporters and opponents. The opponents or the people against it had a variety of concerns. Some of them just simply don't like the idea of bringing in new different warplanes, especially those that could be outfitted to carry nuclear weapons, even though the Air Force says that they would not be equipped, at least initially. Other people who, especially those who live on the east side, very concerned about noise. They're already, you know, sometimes their houses shake when the F-16s fly over, and they're really concerned about these jets that could be up to 4 times louder, according to some of the Air Force's environmental study.
And what did the people who spoke in support of the project say?
A lot of them just were very pro-military. They said they just think it's important to support the armed forces. Others are very interested in the sort of economic impact that the base has on Madison, which is about $100 million a year. And, you know, their fear is that if for some reason they didn't get these F-35 jets, that, you know, that could spell the end of the 115th Fighter Wing's mission. The 115th now has F-16 jets that were built in 1987. They've been flying them since 92. They're some of the oldest F-16s in the Air Force fleet. So there is some concern that they can't keep using those forever.
Now, those F-16s are a familiar sight and sound in the Madison area. How, from what we know, how these F-35s compare as far as how often they'd be flying and how loud they would be?
They would be flying about 27% more often than the current operations. This is according to the environmental impact study. Although in the first year there would be quite a bit more because the F-16s would still be here. They would still be carrying out their mission, so you'd have some overlap. But then once the F-16s were gone, you know, it'd be about 6,200 operations a year. According to the Air Force's their environmental impact study on takeoff, the F-35s are about 20 decibels louder, and the way that sound works, that equates to it would feel about four times louder to the human ear.
And finally, Chris, where is this decision into the process, and who's the decider?
So the decider is the Secretary of the Air Force. The process now, they're still gathering comments on their draft environmental impact study. They expect to release a final study around January. Then there's a 30-day period, and so the final decision is expected to come in February. And if the base is chosen, we could see the F-35s as early as 2023.
Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Always happy to be here.
Chris Hubbock covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. He talked to us about the debate over stationing F-35 jets at Truex Field in Madison. Finally, today is Friday the 13th. There will be a full moon, so it's a perfect time for a spooky trip through an old mansion. People in the Superior area can do just that tonight, starting at 7:30 at the Fairlawn Mansion. Every Friday the 13th, Superior Public Museums hosts flashlight tours through the house. A few years back, WPR reporter Danielle Kading talked with former museum coordinator Stacy Buchanan about what to expect.
Fairlawn Mansion was built in the 1890s by Martin and Grace Pattison. He was a lumber baron and a mining baron in the area. He built Fairlawn after he became mayor of Superior. They lived in the house up until about 1920, and so it was used as a children's home from 1920 to 1962. And then after the children's home was closed, they decided to use it as a museum.
So there's been a lot of people coming and going over the years through that house.
A lot. With the children's home, we've had an estimated about 2,000 children come through the house.
And so every year you put on these flashlight tours.
Yeah, we do the flashlight tours Friday the 13th. So wherever a Friday the 13th falls, we do the flashlight tours. But what we do is we talk about the superstitions of life in the Victorian era, be it marriage or death, ghosts. There's a couple of different topics that they can pull from, but you do get to go through the house in the dark. So that's kind of the best part.
So what are some of the superstitions then that you talk about on the tour?
When I was doing flashlight tours, probably my favorite topic to talk about was death during that time. They didn't have funeral homes like we think of now, so most of the funerals would have taken place in the home itself. And so different superstitions they had with death. You had to cover up the mirrors so you wouldn't get possessed. How funerals would have taken place in a home such as Fairlawn. Some of the dress, like we think of, you know, you have to wear darker clothing, but actually they had very specific directions for whoever the family member was related to. They had issues with the clocks. They always stopped all of the clocks at the time of death. They did think that you could get possessed very easily or be taken with them to death.
Well, why did they think that at that time?
We don't know. Victorian is probably one of the most superstitious time era. They took a lot of what they learned from medieval times, so they were just obsessed with it. It was just the thing that they did.
And so were there any types of these funerals held at Farallon Mansion?
Martin Pattison did pass away in 1918, so he would have had a funeral at that time, and that would have taken place at Farallon.
And so you've worked in this house for 13 years.
Yeah.
And so any stories about that?
I do not personally have any stories. I have never come across anything. There are many stories out there, and we do touch on a couple of the biggest ones during the flashlight tours. We put it out there that we let you believe what you want to believe.
And so what are some of the things that people have said over the past they might have experienced?
I would have to say probably the biggest stories would be from staff members hearing children's laughter or playing near the pool in the basement. There was a story well out on the internet for many years that talks about two kids who would have drowned in the pool during the children's home. One of the other big stories that are out on the internet that's been out for years is that there's a servant who passed away suspiciously after she had left and married, and she came back to Farallon because it was the place that she was comfortable and felt welcome. And so she is spotted in many areas of the house, either helping tour guides when they get lost or anything like that.
That was Listen Back to WPR reporter Danielle Kading talking with former Superior Museum coordinator Stacy Buchanan about flashlight tours at Superior's Farallon Mansion. Those are happening tonight, starting at 7:30.